All right, today's February 18th, year 2007, Quinquagesima Sunday, and we're heading into Lent, which starts, everyone should know, on this Ash Wednesday. I'm going to make these brief opening comments. We're going to get back into some of the plots and ploys and ways of the devil, Satan and the other fallen angels, also known as devils. This is just an interesting little thing when we're refuting Protestants, and I always say this, the Bible is in the New Covenant, New Testament, you know, there's literally hundreds, if not maybe 1,000 or more verses that teach you have to have faith and deeds and not faith alone. We know that. That was Luther's abominable heresy to try to get him off the hook so that he can say, all I got to do is believe in Jesus and I don't have to perform any good deeds or obey God's commandments, which is contrary to at least 1,000, hundreds and maybe even thousands, over 1,000 scriptures in the New Testament. And of course, most importantly, he's been infallibly condemned by God's church, his Holy Catholic Church. No one even held that heresy up until Luther came around, so that's another thing. But I was just reading another one on that, Matthew 6:14-15. Our Lord says, if you will forgive your brother his sins, your father will forgive you your sins. But if you will not forgive your brother his sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive you your sins. Now, who's Jesus talking to in there? He's talking to Catholics. And he's saying that one of the conditions of your salvation is that you bear injuries, and even if that brother hasn't confessed his sins, you must forgive the wrong he did to you. You must have no malice to him. And if that brother especially went to confession and was forgiven by God of his sins, you have to then forget that he ever sinned against you. And even if your brother didn't go to confession and confess his sins and he's still optionally sinning, you have to bear that injury and don't take it personal. Look at that brother is the one who is sick. You still have to rebuke him. You still have to avoid an injustice. You may even have to kill him if he's obstinate. It's a very bad sin. You know, but do not hold any personal malice towards him. That's what Jesus is saying. We're going to get back into some of the plots and ploys and ways of the devil. And as I said last week, he is mankind's worst enemy. And the mankind's worst human enemy is the Talmudic and Zionist Jews. And the devil is the one who they get their power from. And they go to the devil for help. I use the example, too, of how the Jews went to the devil. And it's not just the Jews who go to the devil for help. It's everybody who's not Catholic or is going to the devil in one form or another. It's just that the Jews are the most dangerous. And generally what happens with people when the true God is no longer listening to them. And let's take the example of King Saul. When God turned away from King Saul because he disobeyed his commandments, it's the devil. And Saul didn't repent like David did. So Saul remained in reprobation and he even got worse. And then instead of repenting the way he should have, and God would have forgiven him and turned back his favor to Saul, Saul didn't repent. He became obstinate. He's a good example of what we're looking in the Jews today. And when God wasn't talking to him no more, he would always still want to go to the prophet Samuel, but Samuel said, you can no longer go to me. I will not speak to you no more because you're not faithful to God. Therefore, Saul lost his pipeline to God. He lost his communication with God. God was no longer hearing Saul's prayers. God was no longer speaking to Saul. What Saul should have done was back off and say, okay, Lord God, and admitted why God wasn't speaking to him, truly confessed his sins of disobedience to God, which he never really did, even when he confessed it was false, because he went back and disobeyed God again. So he never had a real true confession. And he should have sat down in sackcloth and ash, wept, and waited patiently until God turns to him again. And then God would have forgiven him, but he never did that. But what did Saul do when he wanted to get that communication with the other world? With God. And he wanted to find that power that he knows there's, because he knew God exists, and he knew there's devils, and he knew it because he banned witches in all Israel. He passed the ordinance as one of God's commandments that there should be no witches in any of Israel doing their witchcrafts. And if I catch anybody doing under pain of death, you're going to be killed with a death penalty, which is a proper. That's what God demands of anybody who, when his chosen people control land, to put an end to all types of witchcraft and black magic and sorcery. But Saul got so desperate because God wasn't speaking to him. David was ascending in power. He knew David was the one who's going to take over after him because of his great envy, his great pride, and his great jealousy towards David. And because God wasn't listening to him, he says, well, if I can't go to God, I'm going to go to a witch. And he went to the witch of Endor to get help because God was no longer listening to him. And then he committed a sin against the faith by going to the witch of Endor. And God even punished him through using the witch. God allowed Samuel to come up from Abraham's bosom at the invocation of the witch even just to condemn Saul again. So when Samuel came up, he was waiting for some positive prophecy that might make him feel good. And Samuel ended up zapping him from Abraham's bosom again and condemned him. So Saul was in a lose-lose situation. But my point of all this was, He went to the devil for help. And when the Jews denied Jesus Christ and did not accept the new covenant, and because of envy and pride and ambition and all these other sins, refused, in spite of all the miracles during the new covenant era, all the power of Jesus Christ and His miracles, all the power of the miracles of all the saints, all the good fruits of God's Holy Mother, the Church, because they refused to accept Christ, because of their envy towards Christ and towards the Church, and because God no longer heard their prayers, because the God of Israel now told them, you must believe I'm also the Holy Trinity and the Catholic God, where did the Jews go? They turned to the devil for help. They went to the devil as their main agent to get power from the devil. And they delude themselves by believing that he's not really the devil, this is the true God. That's how they quelled their guilty consciences. And when they went to the devil, if you follow their Talmud, and when they went into Babylon, all the perversions that came upon them, they were under the Romans one curse. The true God never allowed that stuff, and they should have known better. But because they were so perverse, they turned themselves over to the devil. And then from that point forward, the devil became their number one, their God, small g, who they believed was God. And so the Jews are getting their power from the devil, because God no longer hears their prayers until they have a conviction in their heart to search for the true God and become Catholic and enter the Catholic Church. Only then will God start to work with the Jew. But my point is to show you that the power that this devil has is great indeed, because our Lord gave him dominion over this world, which is a penal colony, as they always say, and a reprobated place of reprobates. And the devil is the king of the reprobates. And we're going to talk about Satan's ability to be able to know your sins and to be able to know where you are. And to see, one of the saints said that if you looked out the window and you were looking up into the sky and God allowed you to see the devils would blot out the sun. And St. Paul said in that particular verse, our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers, against the rulers of this world of darkness, against the spirits of wickedness in high places. The devils inhabit this earth. The devils are always tempting us, as I told you about last week. He's observing you. And he can observe you as long as God wants him. Now, there's times when God doesn't want the devil to observe you. He ain't observing you. God's going to kick him out of the house. But most of the time, even the greatest saints that were in the desert were never free from afflictions of the devil. The devil attacked St. Anthony all the time. He was used to it. They'd appear to him in all different monstrous shapes. They'd come in and they would say things to him. They would harass him. They were always watching him and trying to tackle him and knock him down, physically beat them up. So my point is, devils are always around us, because this is the devil's dominion, and God allowed him to have this power. And not all, so that means the devil, and all the devils report back to Satan, who's their king. Our Lord said, even that Satan's kingdom is a kingdom and he is the boss. Because when they accuse Jesus of being Beelzebub, he says, how could Beelzebub cast out Beelzebub? If that's true, then Satan's kingdom is divided. So Jesus teaches us that Satan's kingdom is not divided. There is a king and his name is Satan. And they all report back to Satan. And my point is, the greatest intelligence, greater than any human intelligence organization. Now you can look at the CIA and the KGB and all these secret information, these secret organizations that are meant to spy upon people, to preserve national security. They come up with all types of gadgets. They come up with bugs and telephones that come in and can bug your house. They can have satellite dishes that can come in and look through your window and see where you're eating. They can come in and maybe now even see what you're saying. So they have all these nice, neat gadgets that mankind can invent, so in which they can spy upon people and know things. And indeed, that could be a great damage to men, or it could be a great good sometimes. Some spying's not always bad. Catholics are supposed to even spy on people who they have suspicions of, if you might be a Murano Jew. But my point is this, no matter how powerful any human spy agency is, it don't come close to Satan's spy agency. Satan's spying agency by far is heads over tails over any human spying capability. And I want to talk about this today, and then next sermon we'll talk about dreams and how Satan affects people in dreams. Satan has a tremendous memory, because he's an angel. And as I said last week, all the angels have a tremendous knowledge, a tremendous memory. And they have a power given them by God that far exceeds any human intellect or human power. But even at that, they don't even come close to God. But we're not going to get into that for now. We're just going to suffice it to say that Satan will put the smartest man on earth to shame with the amount of knowledge that he has, raw knowledge. Now, last week when I said he has no true wisdom, that's true. He's really stupid, because he doesn't have true wisdom. Knowledge without true wisdom is stupid. But it doesn't mean he's so stupid that he can't plot and plan. He could. But ultimately, he's stupid because he knows his plot and plans are going to fail. He can never really conquer God and beat God. It's all done under the guise of deception and lies. Okay, so ultimately, he has no wisdom. But he still has power, he has knowledge, and he could plot and plan. You read the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, and you're going to read a hard, cold, calculating plan. That is a real, real serious plan against God. Not the goofy stuff that goes on in Freemasonic lodges when they have them hop around in their underwear on one foot and act like a bunch of jackasses. And even jackasses don't act like that. They're a bunch of stinking buffoons. I'll always say this. Anybody who can get you to do stupid things like that, and this is another thing to let you know when it's not from God, if anybody tries to make you do something undignified, it ain't from God, I'm sorry. You look at these Protestants when they lay hands upon one another and they start falling down on the ground and jumping around like jelly beans. I mean, thank God. Now, you may be possessed and during an exorcism that stuff happens, but what's happening there? You're admitting that the person's possessed. It's evil. The person's doing that because it's evil. God does not make you do undignified things. I'm giving a little warning to Masons. And even these Knights of Columbus are no different than Masons. They make you do stupid things. When anybody tries to tell you, to do stupid stuff like that, to take off, they tell you in the Masons Lodge, you have to strip down into your underwear. And you have to bring a penny. They tell you stupid things. But that's part of it. And then you got to hop around on one foot and you got to befall like a chicken or do stupid things. Now my point is, if anybody can get you to do that, boy, you deserve to be deceived by the devil. You deserve to be, the devil's laughing at you. The Jews who are behind the Masonic Lodges are laughing at you to the bank because these protocols, Jews don't even do that stuff. They're looking at the Freemasons, so these stupid idiots, look at them. You're almost lending truth to their belief that Gentiles are soulless beasts or animals, but that's not true, because Jews have done stupid things like that too in the past. Read the Old Testament when Jews went bad. They passed their children through fire. They've done stupid things just like that. So it's not, and even these protocol Jews, who knows some of the stupid things they do at the highest levels, but they're not, well, my point is, and when you read Freemasonic doctrines, it's a bunch of mush-mush of all different religions that has no real sense. The only thing that really matters is that they're taking their orders from the Jews and they have a plot to go out there and destroy Catholicism. That's the main thing. The Protocols of Zion is the mind of the devil speaking through the Jew with a very cold, hard, calculated plan. They call it, it's the antithesis of Catholicism. It is the ultimate plan, and it's, you're listening to the genius of the devil, the evil genius of the devil, and his plots through the protocols. And the devil has this power, this immense spy network throughout the whole world in which the devils that are upon earth possessing people, and if they're not possessing people, they're looking for people to possess. You remember when our Lord casted out the devils from the particular man and they went into the pig. What did the devil say? Please, let us go at least into the pig, because the devils need, evidently they feel more at home when they're occupying a living body. It doesn't have to even be a human being. It could be an animal. They feel maybe more at ease when they're... because the devils are still not ultimately tormented, by the way. That'll happen at the end of the world when God locks them into hell forever. When they're in hell, they get tormented. When they come on earth, they have to have enough strength to be able to carry out their plots. If they were ultimately tormented all the time, they won't be able to succeed in their plots. That comes later on. I won't discuss that right now about how that happens. But the point is that when either the devils are on earth possessing people, or they're roaming around the earth seeking whom they may possess and tempting and obsessing people who they cannot possess, or they're in hell. Those are the options as to where the devil is. And that's why you even hear an exorcism prayer is the worst place the devil wants, doesn't want to go back into hell. Please let me stay on earth. Let me possess this person. Let me possess the pig even. Please send me into the pig. And they don't even want to be wandering around outside of a body. They call living bodies homes. That's what devils call them. They're looking for homes. And a devil who's not possessing any living body says, I'm looking for a home. Jesus said, when you cast out the devil from the one person and you sweep the house clean and a person sins again, the devil says, let's go back into our home again and reoccupy it. But this time we're going to bring seven more devils. Now, my point in all this is we're now looking about the spy organization of Satan, which is so much greater than any human spy organization. There's no comparison at all. Satan's devils, they even have damned human beings coming back up upon earth. They can't possess people from what I understand, and I'm not sure on that. I think the church has not decided on that, whether they can actually possess people like a devil could, and maybe they could, and they very possibly could. I'm not sure of that. But we know that they do roam the earth, as people call them, ghosts, and they harass people. So if they're not actually literally possessing you, they're harassing you. So that's something I think the church hasn't decided upon, human beings. Because the damned human beings in hell also come up upon earth, and they are active. Because there have been exorcisms where people have said they had humans inside them, like Judas was possessing one person. So it is very probable that humans even do possess people. So the devil has the fallen angels, other devils, and damned human beings reporting back to him in hell, all this, and not only all this particular information that's going on upon earth. Now, the saint's knowledge and his memory is so great, and all the angels in heaven, because he's still an angel, he didn't lose those powers. He can remember every sin that every man committed from the fall of Adam and Eve. He has that in his brain bank up there. The devil knows every sin you committed. Now, the point is, he cannot use those sins against you if you confess them and you've been absolved of them. God doesn't allow Satan to use those sins against you. You know, God will allow Satan to use your unconfessed sins that you're still guilty of against you as to blackmail you, embarrass you, or for whatever other ugly, dirty purpose that the devil has. I don't know if it's of the faith that God never allows it. Maybe there might be a certain case when God allows even saints to be blackmailed by their past sins, but as a chance for them to be granted humility and great graces. So God may allow that to happen. I don't say God will protect you from that all times, but that's the general teaching, that before you go in and a priest is going to exorcise demons out of a human being, devils and maybe damned humans that are inside the human being, and anybody who goes into that room, he says you better make a good confession and confess all your past sins, because now we're talking about, I think this is de fide, that God will never let the devil, speaking from himself, reveal your past sins, but he could inspire other people to bring up your past sins. We're not going to talk about that now. But he would say, confess your sins and make sure you get absolved and you're no longer guilty of those sins, because during the exorcism, the devil's going to bring up your past sins and spurt them out in front of everybody in the room. He's going to embarrass you. Now, he can lie sometimes. I don't even know if God allows the devil all times to lie about you, but he does. He can even lie about sins you didn't commit, but he could actually, because the devil has the memory of all your sins. And one example was this one priest that took place in an exorcism. He forgot to confess one sin he committed long ago, a sin of lust with a woman. He was out in the mountains all alone. There was nobody there. It was totally alone, him and the woman in the mountains, and no human being was around. And it was about 30 years ago. And here he is doing an exorcism 30 years later, and he forgot about that sin. And the devil, speaking through the human being, it's really the devil speaking, spurted the sin out to him and told him. And even used the words and stuff that went on during that. And he got embarrassed, you know, of course. You know. But the point is, the devil remembered that sin, and he knew about it. The devil was watching that guy when there was no human being around. No human being, but the devil was there. Can any human spy agency match that? Can any human spy? Now, maybe they can have a follow the guy around. You know, they're trying to do stuff with microchips that are coming pretty close, but that still pales in comparison. The microchip thing is pretty dangerous, too, because they could find you and know where you are, but still, the devil can even read your thoughts. You know, no human spy agency can do that. And the devil knows where every human being is in the world at this very moment, if God allows him to know that. And I think he really does even know it, but God doesn't always let him allow to come into your presence. There could be a time, and even in Mary's little house, God lets devils come in here to harass us because we're in his dominion. God reminds us, you're not home yet. This is not paradise. You're still living in a fallen world. It's Satan's dominion, and even the greatest saints, devils coming in and harassing them, even in their monasteries. But there are times sometimes when God will say, and I know this does happen, which I call the type of silence and good peace God gives you when he casts out all the devils from even the room. He doesn't let them even be present. And you feel that peace. It's a kind of peace. It's a kind of calm and silence. I call it all blessed and the holy silence. That God has come down upon the camp and encircled it with his glory. And then all the devils run out of your home. Then there ain't no devils in the house at all. And a lot of times the house is like that. There's no devils at all. But at times God lets them come in if it's a holy house. Now my point is, if you're not a good Catholic, you're not in state of grace, and you don't have the protection, you got devils around you all the time. Now, it's not that God cannot protect you when you leave. He does, if you're right with God. He doesn't just protect your Catholic home. He protects you when you're walking into the worst areas. You've got your angels protecting you. But my point is, you have the devil, or everybody who's not Catholic must know, that there's always devils watching what you do. They know what you do. They know what you're thinking. They know all your past sins. They know every time you stole from somebody. They know every time you lied about somebody. They know every time that you did something against God's commandments. They know everyone. And they know it all. You don't need no human spy organization to know. The devil, Satan, knows all this. And now here's my point, what I'm going to get into this and how this relates to how he operates and gives his power to the Jews. I always say to the let's take a Jew, and this is a common saying among many people. And they said, if you cross the Talmudic and Zionist Jews, you ain't going to work nowhere in this world, and you ain't going to hide nowhere. We're going to find you. And that seems like a pretty ostentatious statement. But it's pretty true, 90%, at least I say it's true all the time if you're not Catholic, or if you're not of goodwill. God will even protect a goodwill non-Catholic, or even a bad one if God has a purpose, so it doesn't always succeed. But I will tell you, 90% of the time, that succeeds. And you've got to say, boy, it's almost uncanny how these Jews can find this wherever you run and hide. If you sin against a Jew, disobey the Jewish law, he's going to come after and get you. No, you can be hiding out in the Bahamas in a cave. And you can figure the Jew's never going to find me. He'll find you. Right? If God doesn't protect you. And why will he find you? Okay? Let's go. Let's talk about the master, what the Jew has. Let's go back to this. Let's say there's a Jew in Brooklyn, for the sake of the argument. He's the top daddy. The top Jew. Who's running all the Jews. And there is a top Jew. And he's an Orthodox Jew. And let's say he's living in Brooklyn. And he lives in a house similar to what we're living. Very simple. If you look at that Jew, he doesn't have any complicated stuff. That type of a Jew is obsessed with bringing the Antichrist to power, and he doesn't really even love money in the way other people does. Money to him represents power, of coming to power in the world and bringing his Antichrist to power. So he doesn't live ostentatiously or extravagant like Zionist secular type Jews. But this Jew is sitting in Brooklyn, and he's the big daddy that's running everything. He doesn't have to call up the CIA. He doesn't have to call up the KGB. He doesn't have to plant little bugs or anything. All Satan does is come up from hell, sit down right next at the table to that Jew, present himself as Lucifer, the good God, and that Orthodox Jew, Satan tells him, and the Orthodox Jew asks Satan, he says, did you hear that so-and-so, this Freemason, he actually went against us and stole money from our banking system, and he stashed it somewhere, and then he left. Where is it? So they ask Satan. And Satan tells him, he's in the Bahamas, and he's hiding in this cave up on this mountain. My devil's reported back to me, that's where he is. And Satan knows that. And so now the Jew doesn't have to call up one person in the government. He doesn't have to use any human instrumentation to find it. The devil told him. Directly, sitting across the table from that Jew, after the Jew gave him obeisance and homage to the devil, then the devil told him, Joe Schwartz is up in the mountain up here, and he's hiding out in the Bahamas in that cave. That's where he is. Then the Jew goes and tells his human instruments on earth through the governments, the democracies and the governments and the police forces and the CIA, which the Jew also controls, and then he puts the thing into mechanism and he says, go out and get that man. He's on the Bahamas. He's in this cave. Now, the only time, and then they're going to go out and get you, murder you or arrest you, whatever it is they have in their mind to do to you, they're going to do it if God doesn't protect you. Now, that doesn't always happen. God will protect people from Satan even releasing that knowledge to other people and forbid Satan to give that knowledge. So the Jew can come up and say, let's say God had his eye on this Joe Schwartz, even though he's a Mason, but he's showing some goodwill and God wants to help this guy, unbeknownst to this guy himself. But let's go back to the house in Brooklyn. Okay? The rabbi, the leader of all the Jews, is talking to Satan. Can you tell me where Joe Schwartz is? Now, I don't know. I'm not allowed to tell you. Or he'll give him some excuse, but God will not allow him to tell him where he is, because there are certain people. God doesn't always allow that to succeed. But I will tell you, 99% of the time, when you're in the camp of the devil, it does succeed, and they will go out and get you. That's why the Jew says, "You ain't going to hide from us. Ain't nowhere in this earth you're going to hide from us. We're going to get you. We're going to get you. And we're going to hunt you down, and we're going to find you." And it's not because of any human intelligence agency. You can have that old Jew in Brooklyn who doesn't even have any of these devices. He knows all this stuff. He knows it all because Satan's telling him. And Satan can tell him exactly how the guy robbed the money from it, who was in the room when he robbed it, who were the Masons that were there when the robbery took place, who was it, what, were you in the White House when Richard Nixon and Billy Graham spoke bad about the Jews? When that came out later on, the devil's in there listening to that too. And he's warning the Jews, and they weren't ready to make that public yet because a lot of people were still believing like Nixon did and Graham at that time, when at least they knew the Jews were the powerful force that were a demonic, lying force. You know, so he came back and said, you know, he's talking against you. Well, as long as he doesn't try to put it into action, we'll let him stay in the White House. But when he starts to go against our plans, we're going to knock him out of the White House. That's why they go after presidents. and they knock him out of office through impeachments, and why they went after Nixon with the Watergate thing, and they went after Clinton with the Monica Lewinsky affair, and they went after Bush's father and tried to impeach him because he wasn't invading Iraq. If you don't do the Jew's plan, he is going to get you. And it's not that he doesn't know all these other things you said against him. He does, as long as you don't try to put him in action. And the devil knows when you're going to do that. And the devil goes to the Jew and said he's getting ready to put into action. He's getting ready to go against you. He's going to try to refute your plan. And he tells the Jew. And then the Jew goes out and he talks to his bankers and all the big shots that are in power, that are obedient to him still, and punishes the offenders. But with this type of information that is coming into the Jews, you're now understanding that without God protecting you, that these Jews do have that type of power that God has given them, that our battle is not against just the CIA and the KGB and all these secret organizations that are evil. Not all secret spy societies are evil. Even God's chosen people allowed to spy. But my point is, our real powerful enemy, you're looking down the barrel, is the devil. And with that type of information he can give people, it's very deadly information in the hands of evil people like the Jews or anybody else, that the devil can come up and reveal these secrets to the people. So you even had one time, and this is to show you that the devil is always present around these non-Catholics, always ever present, listening to them, memorizing everything they said, knowing all their thoughts, looking at all their actions and scrutinizing them. This is great. It's really justice, because God teaches us, if you want to be right with me, you better be careful, because the devil's looking at everything you do, and you don't want him to use any real ammunition against you. Live a godly life. The best antidote against that is to live a godly life, and the devil ain't going to see you doing, thinking or doing no evil. What does our Lord says? Don't even think no evil, and the devil will not hear you think no evil. Don't do no evil, and the devil will not see you do no evil. And this, he has nothing over you. And I always say, Satan can read my thoughts, good. You're going to have to listen to a lot of Hail Marys and Our Fathers and holy words out of my mouth, because I know you hate them. I'm going to say, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Take that, devil. Hear that, devil. I want you to hear good things. I want to torment you by my thoughts. I want my thoughts to torment you, because they're holy thoughts. So you can protect yourself against this. But the majority of the world, because they're not Catholics and they're in the camp of the devil, and they don't realize this mechanism of devil, it seems uncanny how the Jews can come up with this. How did he know where I was? I didn't tell nobody. How did he know what I did? It was only us three in the room, or it was only me in the room. I had stuff like that happen. When God allowed the devil to attack me, I was doing things when I was alone in the house, and other people were coming and telling me things that I did. Because the other thing the devil does, he can let witches observe. Anybody who practices witchcraft, when I say witches, I mean warlocks, witches, voodoo, santra, it's all the same. He allows, you know, the crystal ball thing is true. The devil will allow them to get a view. The devil can even pick up a witch and transport that witch out of their bodies into the room, and they can observe what you're doing. Or they can observe it through the eyes of the devil. They can put it into a crystal ball. And they're looking at what's going on at the secret meeting or in your house when you're all alone. And they can really, really, the witch himself, see what you're doing. Because the devil is, it's no different than if the devil had a camera in the room. He's transporting it through the crystal ball, and he's showing the person what's going on in that room. That really happens. But when you serve the devil, he doesn't always give you a true picture. He double-crosses his witches even. Sometimes he'll put a false picture in there. Something that they're looking in the crystal ball, that's not really happening. He just he puts on an act and pretends that. So you're not always getting the truth from the devil. When you're dealing with the devil, you cannot always be assured that he's telling you the truth, because he lies a lot. So he can also throw stuff in there which is not true information. But he can also throw in there true information. So I'm trying to show you who the real enemy is. It's not, like St. Paul said, it's the devils. It's our real, worst, most powerful enemy. And that enemy, there's no human way you can be protected from it. Now, you may be able to protect yourself from a human enemy, a KGB, a CIA, kill the guy, shoot him, find the bug in the house and rip the bug out of the phone and throw it out and cover your house with lead to protect the satellite dishes from being able to look into your house and spy on you. You can do all this kind of human stuff. But that ain't your real enemy. You can do that, humanly speaking, but you ain't going to do anything humanly possible to protect yourself from the spying of the devil. And that's why my point is, unless you're ultimately in the camp of God, the true God, you ain't going to be protected from all these plots and ploys of the devils and from this devil having this information. I think even one of the presidents said this, maybe you know who it is, I think it was Roosevelt, and even he was a Freemason, they're all Freemasons in the service of the Jew, and they even said there's a power so awesome and so scary that we darely speak above a whisper. Wilson. Was it Wilson? Woodrow Wilson? Yeah. He said, we darely speak above a whisper because they will hear us and it will get back to us and it will punish us. Wilson was telling you, I'm not the real power to be here. I'm just a Freemason who's doing my duty as the Freemasonic Lodge, and I'm obeying the Jew. as he tells me what to do, I'll obey the Jew, and I know that. So not all the Freemasons know they're obeying the Jew. As long as they're obeying their Freemason superiors, they're obeying the Jew. The higher you up you get, then you begin to know who your masters are. It is the Jew. But you don't need to know it. The Jews don't even care if you know that you're serving them. As long as you do what your Freemasonic superior tells you, and then the top Freemasonic superiors report directly to the Jew, and they know it. And for Wilson to state this, he's telling me, I'm not the real power to be here, but there is a power that if you even whisper. And I will go further than that. I said, Woodrow Wilson, not whisper, if you even think it, the Jew hears it. And the devil hears it. And the devil goes back, if God allows it, and tells Jaime over there in Brooklyn, the rabbi. He goes up and says, did you know what Woodrow Wilson was thinking last night before he went to bed? He was just laying down. He was thinking he's going to go against you. He was thinking he's going to expose you. He was thinking it. He didn't even whisper it. He just thought it. And if God allows it, and he does allow it, the devil tells that Jew. And then he says, what should we do? Well, don't do anything yet until he puts it into action. I'll report back to you and let you know if he puts it into action. But in the meantime, I'm going to harass him. And the Jew will. The devil will. If he knows you're thinking that even. I had many dreams. I had the devil appear to me in my dreams and attack me, I don't know how many times, and warn me to stop talking about the Jews and John Paul II. Literally. You better stop talking about the Jews and the Mafia too, because I was talking against the Mafia. I lived in Newark, New Jersey, where all the five main Mafia families were. It was a big Mafia. And I was talking against all those groups. But the biggest thing the devil would appear to my dreams and try to make me afraid of and stop talking was the Jews, number one. The apostate Jews. You better stop talking about the Jews. And then John Paul II was number two. You ever I spoke out against a Jew, the devil would punish me the next day because the guy allowed him. And he would do something very much. But I only got angrier. When that happened, I said, okay, we're at war here. You're going to do this? Now I know I'm hitting a sore spot here. And he said once when the devil literally physically knocked me across the room, physically hit me, and I said, this is war. I says, I know you can kill me. And I wasn't really, he could kill me if God allows him, but that's sort of what I meant. I says, I know you can kill me. I says, but you better kill me, because if you don't, I am going to expose you. I am going to expose you. I'm going to expose every dirty little plot. I'm on to something here, and I ain't going to shut up. I ain't going to stop talking about the Talmudic Jew. I ain't going to stop talking about the Mafia man. I ain't going to stop talking about John Paul II and his apostasies. I'm going to do even more, and I even did it more. I became bolder, and God liked that. But the point was, God also showed me how the devil scares you. He'll appear to you in dreams and warn you, and he'll even punish you during the day, physically hit you, take things away from you, make things happen. That's what scares guys like Wilson. That's what he's afraid of. Stuff you don't even see that's going on in his life, in which devils are doing to him, and they know it. And they know it, and they're afraid. Because why are they afraid? They don't have the true God. They don't have true faith in the true God. They haven't gone to Christ. They haven't gone to the Catholic God. So the point on this is showing you who the real enemy is. You could talk about all the human conspiracies you want till kingdom come, but if you don't understand the main power behind the conspiracies against God, which is Satan and the devils and the damned human beings, you ain't got no hope. You are not even getting to the root of the problem. You're just looking at this thing superficially. It's like trying to put a band-aid on a wound that's infected down to the core. If you don't understand what the real power is, like our Lord said, and where you, then the only place you can get help from that power is from the true God. And when you serve the true God, guess what? He even gives you the bonus of protecting you from human machinations and plots. No human can even mess with you if God's with you. Not just the devils, but I'm just saying this because humans can imagine in their own way you can fight against another human. But how do you fight against the devil? I want to give you an example about that. I had another dream like that where, and what was it? This one involved, I'll speak to about that a little one later, but a devil came up and was blaspheming and saying, in my dream this was, and the devil was really attacking me and saying some nasty things. And I got really angry at him in my dream, and I wanted to punch him with my fist, So I was trying to swing at him. And my guardian angel held back my hand and said, that's not the way you hurt the devil. That don't affect him. He's a spiritual being. Exorcism prayers. The prayers of the church. The name, holy name of Jesus kills him. And so I used the holy name of Jesus, and the devil ran faster than you can even blink. Ran! I looked at him, and he's gone. Happens a lot. Anytime the devils are harassing your dreams, just use the holy name of Jesus. And boy, does it work. It does. Now, sometimes you can't even get the name out. The devil tries to put mumbles in your mouth. And you're going, Jesus! And when the word comes out, he runs. And we'll get into that later on. But my point is, I'm showing you ways, the true weapons that you need to protect yourself against the devil and who your true enemy is. So and who your one and only true help is. It's the Catholic God. The Catholic God, not the Protestant God, not the Talmudic Jewish God. These are all small g gods, they're all devils. Only the Catholic God and the Catholic Christ. He's the only one that ultimately, and for the first reason I will tell you to do this is so you can save your soul. But if you're not serving the true God, not only the first thing is you're not going to save your soul, the second thing is the devil's going to run roughshod over you in this earth. And he's going to make you think you're powerful. He's going to make you think you got the power because he's lending you these favors. But you don't even, one thing I will, if I don't have time to talk about, I want to let you know how the devil, what the devil really thinks about you. He hates you. He despises you. He looks at you like a bug. He despises human beings. If you only knew what the devil thinks about human beings, if you only knew what he thinks about himself, he despises himself. The devil is hate incarnate. The devil is hatred incarnate. The devil is he hates everything including himself. And when he looks at human beings, he actually hates him so much, even the ones that serve him, even that Jew in Brooklyn, he wants to rip his head off and throw that Jew into hell. And I'm telling that Jew in Brooklyn who's talking to the devil, listen to what I tell you now and get away from that evil entity. Don't flatter yourself because he's giving you power. It's no different than when Saul went to the witch. You're not being helped by the true God. Get away from the devil to save yourself. He hates you, he abhors you, and he wants to drag you into hell with him, and he will when you die. What good is it for you to get a couple favors on earth? Even what good is it for you to gain the whole earth, but to suffer the loss of your soul, as our Lord Jesus Christ said? So get away from these people. I'm telling you, the only way you can be protected from these ultimate spies and attacks of the devil is the Catholic God and the Catholic Church. I could go on, and I think we are going to talk about this several weeks in a row, because I have a lot more to talk about on this, so I let this week suffice to talk to you about the ability of the devil to be able to spy on human beings, and the devil and the damn humans. He's got a spy network that is infinitely greater than any human spy network. He can go back and memorize all your past sins and say, I know what you did 40 years ago. I know what you did when you were 7 years old. I knew what you did when you were this. Can any human spy agency match that? And anybody who's, even witches communicate with devils directly, not just the Jew in Brooklyn. So I don't want to make you think he's the only one. But he's communicating with Lucifer himself, and he's the top dog. He's the top human on earth that the devil's now using to bring Antichrist to power. But devils appear to witches in their covens when they get together, and they have to stand on their 6 points, and the devil appears in the middle and as a human being or as a goat or as an ugly animal. And he speaks to them and gives them power. Witches know that. They communicate with devils, and the devils give witches favors too, yes. Whatever I'm telling you happens here with that Jew, it's not just happening with that Jew, it's just that he's the boss. But it happens with witches, and anybody who invokes the power of the devil gets these favors from the devil. And that's what witches, why do people, a lot of people fall into witchcraft? They want to know what their neighbors are doing so they can get some dirt on them. Or a lot of times because they're in love with some particular person who doesn't love them back, and they want to have power over them. And they want to go, so they go to a devil, to Satan, and practice witchcraft. I want to know who he loves, because I love him, and I don't want him to love that person. So first I want to know who he loves, so if she makes a pact and does everything she's supposed to do to get into good favor of the devil will tell her, he loves so-and-so, and this and that. And then she's going to go further and say, well, what can I do to make him love me? Well, you can try this charm, do this, and I'm going to make him love you. And if God allows it, and because that man himself is not right with God, it can happen. It will happen if God allows it. It will. But a lot of these things God doesn't allow to happen. If God allowed the devil to do whatever he wants, we'd all be dead in hell. So God doesn't allow the devil to do a lot of things. But he also allows him to do a lot of things also. So I'm telling you, all you people out there right now, whether you know it or not, are being manipulated by the devil like a puppet just pulling your strings. And God is above all that, pulling the devil's strings and everybody's. God supersedes everything. We'll talk about that in the end. The only person, the closer you get to God, I'll just make it short here, the only person you really fear is God and no one else. Because when you see the power of God, and you know what God can do, and you know that God is the King and above and the power of all, and that everything stops and nothing even moves at the beck of God, not even the devil doesn't even dare to raise his head against God, then you only fear God, really. And your only question is, when the devil beats you up, it's not to the devil, it's to God. What did I do wrong, God, for you to let the devil beat me up? Or are you allowing it because I'm getting grace for a persecution's sake? But you always go to God. God is really the only one you fear. The closer you get to God, the more you know that. Because then you see the power of God. And nothing compares to the power of God. We'll get into that later. When God speaks and acts, it's a done deal. It's that you can't resist God's will. One iota. You can fight against the devil, but you can't fight against God. He's where all the power comes from. All right, so that's it for the sermon for today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.